speak like an average white male. My haircut is exactly halfway between the most boring and most extreme styles on the planet. I drink a lot of Coca-Cola and make average jokes on a fairly regular basis. And when it comes to Jim's proposal, I adhere to the code of 98% of the American population. Don't step outside your comfort zone. And Alaska certainly resided outside that zone. Yes, I was aware of the opportunity to work a seasonal job in some remote location. In fact, I always found the proposition a little intriguing, but I wasn't actually going to do it. That's crazy talk. It's impractical, completely unpredictable, and probably wouldn't work out anyway. Only weirdos actually do these things. So naturally, I wouldn't be going. And Jim should have known this. I assume he knew me better after we'd spent our entire high school careers together. But that was years ago, and the time might have clouded his sense of reality. I decided to respond by telling him it sounded cool and I'd think about it. Then, in a month or so, I'd politely decline. Tell him I couldn't make it work. It wasn't feasible or practical. I couldn't afford it. I was needed back home. I had to do a summer internship to complete my college degree. Some combinations of half-truths and bullshit. It wouldn't be hard. The details could be worked out later. But for some reason, the thought of actually doing it never left my mind. After all, it was an intriguing proposition. I had never been much farther north than our native Minnesota. I certainly enjoyed both broads and beer, and had a decent on-again, off-again relationship with bushwhacking. Maybe the fact that Jim seemed to know what he was doing made the proposal seem a little more feasible. The man knew how to travel. I'd heard rumors of him working for a short time wrestling wild boars somewhere near the Ivory Coast. It would be like having a tour guide. As the days passed and I considered it more, the idea of actually saying yes started to gain ground on my conventional thinking. Plus, I had absolutely no plans for the summer. It was the spring of my junior year of college, and I hadn't even begun looking for work. Maybe this Alaska thing wasn't such a bad idea. Maybe it wasn't just weirdos who did these things. Maybe Jim's mom didn't drink during pregnancy. 2 weeks later, I sat across the table from Jim in a crowded coffee shop in downtown Minneapolis. On his laptop, we each filled out online applications for Aramark, a massive company which owned nearly every resort in Denali, Alaska. Denali was our destination, because Jim said so. Not long after, I got a call from Karen, who conducted a brief phone interview, and informed me I would be perfect for one of Aramark's retail jobs at a Denali resort. Retail. That's all she said. I should have known. Chapter 2. Hostels and Serenades. We hopped off the plane in Fairbanks in mid-May with bulging suitcases and positive attitudes. The pay wasn't going to be great, but we were getting cheap room and board, and this Alaska place was supposed to be quite the draw in the summertime. After faxing in my signed contract, I had spent an ample amount of time talking myself into how much fun it would be. It'll be weird, but fun, and good for you. These are the things I tried fervently to believe. And you know, after a while, it actually kind of worked. I was committed. The plan was to spend the night in Fairbanks and catch a shuttle for Denali in the morning. We got a cab from the airport to something called Billy's Backpackers Hostel. The cab driver spoke roughly 3 words of English, which for some reason didn't seem to deter him. He looked Korean, wore a Yankees cap, and claimed to be a 30-year resident of Alaska. At least, I think that's what he said. There was a lot of Korean in there. Thankfully, Jim took the front seat, so he had to struggle through most of the conversation, which was fairly one-sided. The man liked to talk. All I got out of his ramblings was he was a former minister, or priest, rabbi, something. And according to his research, humans should live 500 years or so, but don't because they eat red meat. The other 10 minutes of conversation could have been anything. I had no idea, and neither did Jim, so he tried to act polite. The man could have called Jim's sister a 50-cent hooker, and Jim would have laughed and nodded. Ha ha, yep, I hear what you're saying. Mercifully, we arrived at the hostel. Billy's was a cozy little place on the outskirts of Fairbanks, surrounded mostly by woods. It was painted purple and had a down-home feel. This was my first hostel experience, mostly because I never did the obligatory semester in Europe in college. Again, the comfort zone. And a healthy distaste for overcast skies and small cars, I suppose. Anyway, I enjoyed Billy's thoroughly. Jim and I grabbed a few of the communal bikes and headed to the general store. Yes, they still have those in Fairbanks, for a 12-pack. Which, by the way, was incredibly expensive. If you ever go to Alaska, bring your own beer. Back at the hostel, we sat at the communal